Hey everybody, this is Pam at the Paper Outpost, and this is the Paper Outpost podcast, The Joy of Junk Journals. We have Sunshine here by my side, my little Maltese pup, and we are hanging out in the craft room today. And so today, the big topic of the day is, should I clean my craft room or not? Okay, so we all face this. It's never ending. It's like laundry. And I got my, I would say my basics I had to get done today in my craft room, and I was printing out some digikits to mail to somebody, and while that was printing, I was slowly cleaning up my desk area. I first thought to myself, no, I'm not going to clean it, but then I thought, well, I'm sitting here printing. I could use that time to clean. It would improve my environment, which is good, but sometimes my most creative moments come from a messy desk, so was I working against myself or for myself? I was unsure, but I slowly started to clean. And there was a lot to clean, let's just say. I slowly started by picking up the largest objects first. I felt like that was giving me a sense of accomplishment. I'm going to have a sip of my coffee. And I could see the space becoming clearer quite quickly when I did that. So the crocodile got moved, some big papers and digikits got moved, my tape dispenser got moved. Then I moved my glue bottles. I put my doll, okay, now it's starting to go a little smaller now. Then I started to put away my rubber stamps, my ink pads, and my daubers. I would say they are middle size. A lot of organizing, repositioning, snuggling in of things that don't really fit in the space anymore in the designated drawers that I so meticulously organized some way back day in the past. And now I wonder why they got so full. I started with the small stuff then. Now the small stuff was either garbage, small bits of usable scraps, or little tiny bits of ephemera that I would use in the journal that I'm working on right now. So I put the tiny bits of ephemera and scraps aside, like put the scraps in the scrap box, threw the garbage out, and collected the little bits of ephemera. So that was all good and dandy. And then I wiped up my desk because there's always a lot of paper lint when you work with paper. It's a good idea to wipe things down with a damp cloth just to pick that up because it's just a good idea. And then that made me look under my desk where I store my lightweight cardstock and my regular copy printer paper. And I thought, oh, I could rearrange that area, making it a little more tidy. So the desk just doesn't consist of the top of the desk. There's the top of the horizontal plateau, which we're all familiar with, where our elbows lean on. And down below is where I store my paper, my copy paper and my cardstock paper, and my fundles to sell. And what else is down there? I have a box of digikits that I work from. And that's it down there. Now, it needed to be tidy, let's just say. Things were not in their categorized space. Plus, I like to organize down there because then I know what I need to replenish if I'm getting low on anything. So the copy paper has been replenished. I just buy the Amazon Basics case of multi-purpose copy paper. 8.5 by 11 sheets, 20-pound weight, 92 brightness. And it seems to work very well. I've been very happy with it. Seems to be a reasonable price. I also buy my cardstock. It's not Amazon. It's, what is this? I can tell you exactly what it is. I know everybody wants to know. Okay. It's called N Exact 40411. And that's the one I buy. And I think I buy it on Amazon or eBay. I'm not sure. One of those two. But that's where I get it from. And I'm happy with it. And My particular learning curve with cardstock was you never know exactly what it's going to feel like or how thick it is until you actually have it in your hand. I was very confused because I bought some that I thought were thicker and they were thinner, and some that I bought that I thought were thinner and they were thicker, and it didn't seem to match the number on the, like, these are 110 pound, or not pound, it's like grams per something or other. It's about, let's see, what is it? It is 110. Oh, who can read that? My God. All right, 110/199 grams per meter. All right, there you go. For those who have to know, there it is. But I know that cardstock numbers, like the weight, the thickness, isn't the same as paper numbers. It's different. So don't get confused there. That confused me for a while. And then I never really went further than that because once I found one that I liked, I just stuck with it. So you might find a different one and you like it and you stick with it and you're happy, you find a good price on it. And that's the way we roll. Sometimes I find cardstock in thrift stores, not often. Maybe you're going to find some at garage sales or something like that. But I actually end up having to buy it in bulk online because I do the printing of the DigiKids, so I need it in volume. I can't just cross my fingers and hope I find enough at a garage sale. But back in the day, before I did that, I probably did find enough. And gosh, I found some really pretty paper at thrift stores. Like people who are getting rid of resume paper, fancy linen, parchment, marble, like all this fancy schmancy stuff, and it's so pretty, but it is very expensive to purchase. So I would say if you can find that at thrift stores, garage sales, yard sales, and flea markets, your family and friends closets, great places to ferret from. Don't ever, you may be doing these people the biggest favor ever if you just say, hey, do you have any like old paper stuff that you'd just love to get rid of and you'd like to give it a happy home and know it would be good, put to good use? Hey, look at me. I'm your person, and I'll actually carry it away. You don't even have to do any of the heavy lifting. Or you can help me and I'll buy you lunch. However it goes. Or coffee. Another sip of coffee here. Mm-hmm. So I have to admit, I have a closet upstairs. And there's a shelf in the closet. It's a small closet in a bedroom. And it's full of paper. And I completely forget about it all the time. And it's a great resource. So don't forget self as a resource. Sometimes we forget about these little deposits we have around our living spaces that we sort of nest stuff in. It's kind of like a little resting depot of like, oh, here's a nice place to store this for now because I actually have no idea where to put it. And I know I could probably put it to good use, but I'm never going to find it here again. I know it. I'm putting it in here and I'm closing the door and I'm walking away and I know exactly what's going to happen. Big fat nothing. But we do it because, you know, maybe we grew up with a philosophy of, well, you never know. Someday you might need it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, as crafters, we're excellent hoarders. We can find a purpose for anything and we can turn it into a craft. So we tend to collect a few things here and there. And so we have gone ahead and remembered, me and Sunshine have gone ahead and remembered we have paper up there. So next time I feel like I need to get some paper, I'm going up there first. So, yeah. Now, don't forget neighbors. Neighbors are easy pilferages. They're right there. They're within arm's reach, and they can't get away. You know where they live. And all you have to do is every time you go to the mailbox, you interact. And you say, oh, there's so much paper in the world. Look at all the paper. Look at the junk mail I got. Hey, you know, I'm a paper crafter. If you happen to have any extra paper hanging around, I'm your gal. You know, you could work it like that. It's definitely a possibility. And so, yeah, my desk is clean and I've got my coffee cup, my arm and my my leg up here. I'm stretching out and making myself comfortable. I have an L-shaped desk. It's actually two desks kind of L-shaped together. So one is cleanish-ish and one has a pile of stuff on it. Yep, there it is all over there. I could actually put stuff away while we're we're talking. Let me do that. Okay, so here's some random things of unknown significance. But that's okay. We'll figure those out later. Let's put them in this pile over here on another table, and we'll do that another day because that's how motivated we are. Yeah. I mean, if I'm moving anything into its correct spot today, it's a miracle. Oh, here's some old black and white photos. I just love these. I can never get... Oh, here's an old rock band. It looks like from the 70s from Russia. These guys are playing air guitar. They're trying to... They all have mullets, and they're trying to look... They're trying to look like they're bad dudes, but they're just kids. So that is really cool. I love, 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 love old black and white photos. I don't know. It's just something... mysterious and magical about it. Just can never get enough of those babies. Okay, so now what is this? Oh, an old postcard. We'll put you in the postcard bucket. And oh, here's the current journal I'm working on. Let's put you where I can actually find you. I think somebody asked me if I'm going to be selling this one. Yes, I'll be selling this one. I just don't know when because I don't know when I'll be done it. Oh, look, more black and white photos hiding under my to-do list journal. So every day, if you really want to know how Pam uses journals, I have a to-do journal, and I use it every day. I write down the things I have to do or must do or most important to do that would make the most difference, not just necessarily busy work, but to move forward, do the things that make the most difference, right? So do that first, and then you're making progress. And you'll get all the busy work stuff done because it's screaming in your face and you have to do it. So I you know, I have faith in myself. I will get those things done. But here's a sock. This has no rhyme or reason. It's actually on my craft desk. Let me go put that where it belongs. Oh, okay, time to put the laundry in the dryer and the next load in. Yes, this is life of a crafter. This is the exciting excitement that happens on a daily basis here. It's riveting, I tell you. Oh, look, I had stuff in the dryer. Did I dry it? I hope so. Oh, yeah, it's dry. Do you ever do that? Like, you put stuff in, and you walk away, and, you know, you think it's on, but it's not, and you come back, and you have, like, wet, stiff, old, stinky clothes in there? Yeah, all the time. I don't know why I'm always probably thinking about something else, like something crafty, and I just get distracted, and off I go. Okay, so transferring the darks into the... dryer. Okay, now we're going to be... I won't turn it on and drive you crazy with that, but here we go. All that stuff's going in there now. Good. Good. All right, in you go. All right, it's in. I know. See, I didn't turn it on. This is where it happens. The disaster. Okay, now I'm doing the red-pink load. I do a red-pink load. I wear lots of pinks and reds, and I find that they're much happier in their own little washing moment. Not commingling with everybody else, because that can be disaster. And if I do end up in disaster, it suddenly becomes a craft supply. You know what I mean? And I like to work with reds. I don't really like to work with reds. I like to work with pinks a lot. And I'm learning to understand that red is a neutral. I do my best. And I like to use it around Christmas and Valentine's. And, okay, let's see what color you are. You have the soap. Go. There we go. Okay, now turn the dryer on. Okay, I am going to turn it on. Okay. And we're on. And we're out of here. Come on, everybody. All right, come on, sunshine. Come. So Sunny follows me wherever I go. Go in the laundry room. Sunny's there. Go in the kitchen. Oh, Sunny's totally there. In the bathroom, Sunny's there. In the craft room, Sunny's mostly here. Are you coming? Oh, you're not following me in the craft room. Oh, yes, here he comes. It was a slow approach. All right. No, I don't have any snacks. Not right now. He's been doing really well. I think it's starting to get warmer here, and I think we're going to restart his swimming lessons in the pool. He can get out safely about 3/4 of the pool, but that deep end, we haven't fully trained him on yet, so I'm going to get in there, and that's the part. I'm waiting for the pool to warm up. I got to get in there, and actually, I mean, I can just slightly, like, put him in the water, and he'll find his way out, because I have a set of stairs, and of course, we all have a set of stairs to go to the pool, But I put a big black X where the stairs are so he can see where the stairs are, because I tried to like put my eyes down to the level of where he might be, like looking. If I was sunshine and in the water, he can't really see where the stairs are. So I put a big X there and I keep like guiding him to the stairs. So he knows how to get out 3/4 of the pool, which is kind of cool. So, and I never leave him out there by himself. No, he always comes in and makes sure. And we have to do the treat bribe to get him to come inside, because he loves going outside. And so I'm like, all right, come on, sunshine, come on in. And then he comes and I am the one who's well-trained. I have to deliver the treat, because if there's lag time between performance and treat, then apparently they don't put that neuro association together, and you're just giving him treats and he doesn't get why, but he just thinks he's so wonderful, he's deserving of all the treats in the world, which I kind of think he thinks anyway. But I would just like to share that my little boy can be a little bit of a bully when it comes time for mother to have lunch, and if there's chicken involved, which there often is, let's just say he thinks he owns my plate and I am merely in the way of between him and the plate. And if he could just remove me from the picture, he would be very happy to do that. It usually starts with a paw on a leg, and then a paw and a scratch. And then if I ignore him, he'll come up right in front of my face on my chest and look at me. And now he's between me and my bowl. He has separated me from my bowl at that moment. It's just me eyeballing him, him staring me down, and we're wondering who's going to buckle. And if I do not respond appropriately in the correct amount of time, then comes the face swat. That's right. I get the face swat, not him. He lifts his little paw and baff, right across the face. Like, you're not paying attention. I'm here. I'm present. You know what I want. Give me the chicken, Mom. And, so he usually wins, honestly. I probably trained him that he's gonna get something if he works me over enough. So I've really created my own little devil monster. But he learned that trick really fast, really easily. Where are you going? Did you hear a noise? Sometimes he'll hear a squirrel running across the pool cage outside. And he goes charging up to the window just to make sure nobody's infiltrating his personal space. Or he might hear the Amazon guy at the front door. But this seems to be a false alarm of nothing. Oh, you know what? He's probably hearing the laundry. And he's like, he wants to, you know, ascertain what it is. He's looking in the direction of the laundry. Yeah. Yeah. He's like, is someone coming in the door? Because that's a portal of entry where the laundry is. That's like right from the garage, laundry room, and then house. So he's used to people coming in and out of that door. So he's all over that. Yeah. So I hope you're having a crafty day and you're doing fun things for yourself. So yeah, Pamela, you kind of stalled. You sat down again and stopped cleaning your other part of your L-shaped desk. I am now cleaning this desk. Okay, I have some nice pieces of cut braille here. I love the pieces of cut braille. It doesn't matter how small they are. I'll use those babies. They're cool. They're just awesome coolness. And yeah, if you're interested, like where you can get braille paper, you can find it online. You can check with your local blind society. Sometimes they have books that they're getting rid of. They're out of date, just like regular books. Like, you know, maybe they're manuals on how to fix a fridge or something like that. I mean, something that's not really that popular, and it might be better used for crafting, something like that. But they were probably a really good resource for that, so I recommend checking with them. You know, eBay, Etsy might sell some, things like that. But you can find them around. They're available. It's out there. What else? So, yeah, we're going to be having a beautiful... I finished the DigiKits for May, so they're going to be coming out soon. May 1st, the new newsletter is going to go out. And I have a link now for all the folks who have difficulty seeing my links below in the description box, either on your computer or your phone, or you're on Roku TV, something like that. So I show that on some of my videos, so you can freeze frame it and just write down that link. And if you put that into your web, you know, search or your web address place, it should bring up all my links. So I'm just trying to make that easier for you. And we carry on from here. So folks, have a beautiful, blessed day. Happy crafting. And we'll all be talking together soon. Bye-bye.